All right, good morning and welcome. Everybody's ready to go today. This is great. So we have Ben, of course, if you've just joining us for the first time, or if you're like, Ed, you got to remind us where we've been. Here's where we've been. John 13, this section of Jesus' life and Jesus' ministry right before he goes to the cross, where he says, having loved his own who were in the world, he now loved them to the very end. And we said, this is called kind of the sermon at the end, where all of this kind of fits in the story that we're talked about. So last week was all about the more we are connected to Jesus, the more fruit of the Spirit is produced in our life. The whole idea of the vine, the branches, all of that put together, that's where we were last week. So I want to start today with a question. Who is the ultimate authority in your life? Like, if you got a decision to make, you got a decision making, you're sitting there going, what do I do? Let's say you get a new job offer. But it's not here, it's somewhere else. So are we going to move? Are we going to uproot everything? Are we going to move there? How are you going to make that decision? How are you going to decide if a coworker comes up and do, come on, the boss will never find out. It'll be okay. The company makes millions. They won't miss this few little thousands of dollars. Okay, they won't miss that. Okay, they make millions. And so they talk you and they're like, come on, join us in this. How do you make that decision? How do you make the decision to know if you're going to be involved in something that's right or wrong, good or bad for you? How are you going to make that decision? See, everybody has an ultimate authority in their life. Everybody has someone that they go to, somebody that you take your cues from. Sometimes it's just ourselves. I don't know. I'm just out to do whatever I want for myself, whatever I think is best for myself, whatever I think is greatest for myself. That's what I'm about. Some of us become followers and we're just like, I just want to fit in. I just want to fit in with my friends and do everything my friends do. So I'm just going to do whatever they do. I'm just going to take my cues from them. Okay, what are we doing tonight? What laws are we going to break? What are we going to do? I'm just in because I got to follow you. Sometimes it's that. Sometimes we just look to people in our life and say, oh, you got to help me out. I got a decision to make. Okay, so if you're going to phone a friend, who's that going to be? Who's going to help you decide what you're going to do is right or wrong, good or bad, helpful or destructive for your life? How are you going to make that decision? Where do you get your cues from? And if you would think about that as we go through this morning, this little section, it might help you. Because the words of Jesus here are going to be really powerful to kind of push us to think about who is that? Because whatever that is, and I would urge you to make that Jesus, I would urge you to make that the word, then there's something that's going to happen that Jesus says we ought to be doing when it comes to his commands, when it comes to the things that he tells us to do. And it all comes down to who is that authority into your life? Who is speaking into your life? Who are you getting your cues from of whether you should do? Is that good or bad, helpful, harmful, good for us, bad for us? How do you make those decisions? So we're going to look at two verses this morning, John 15, verses 9 and verses 10. And I'd already thought, well, we're just going to do these two verses. This is simple. And I'm going to show you what I thought it said and then what I was discovering this week, and even had some friends help me because they said, what is this? I haven't seen this before. And so we talked through it. So here it is. Just as Jesus says, just as the Father has loved me, that's really important. Jesus understands he is loved by the Father. If you don't understand you are loved by the Father and you work from that love, it's just hard. I'm just going to tell you it's hard. You're just going to get mixed up. And am I keeping this so God will be happy with me? And you're going to try to work for love and not from love. So he says, just as the Father, Jesus says, has loved me, I also have loved you. Stay, remain in my love. I need you to stay there. I don't need you to leave. I don't need you to go traveling off to somewhere else. I need you to stay in my love. And then he's going to tell us one of the ways that we can do this. If you obey my commandments, you will remain in my love just as I've obeyed my Father's commandments and remain in his love. Okay? That's one of the pictures. He says, if you just obey my commandments. So that's what I'm going to tell you. That's what I've come up here to say. How are we going to better obey? How are we going to better follow the commandments? Except when you open up a different version, you find a different word. And here it is. If you keep my commandments. And you might be thinking, well, that's the same thing. That's enough for me to trigger. I got to look up that word. So here it is in a different language. If you, in a different translation, if you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. It's that word keep, or that word obey. It's how we translate that, that I think is going to help us this morning to understand what does it look like to remain in his love by keeping his commandments. So is it obey? Is it keep? Is there a better word we could use? And what is the picture that Jesus is trying to paint for us about what it looks like to follow him, to keep his commands, to have him be the authority in our life? Well, here's the Greek word. The Greek word is tereo, to watch over, to guard. Now, doesn't that do something different for you than to obey, keep? Wait a minute, we're talking watch over, guard. In fact, if you've read any of the different parts of scripture, like the book of Acts, where it says that Peter is in chains and he is guarded. There's the word, okay? Because there is somebody guarding him. There was somebody guarding the cross of Jesus. There was a Roman soldier there. He was guarding it. He was tereoing it. And it's that same picture. It's that same picture of what it looks like when it comes to God's commands and what I need to do if I'm going to remain in his love, to watch over, to guard. So then when you look at the Hebrew tends to give us a good picture. Hebrew is a very pictureful language, which is helpful. I don't know if it's helpful for you. It might be. You might be one of those visual people too, where if you can get a visual cue of something, it helps you wrap your mind around what Jesus might be saying here. So the word in Hebrew is shamar, same thing, to watch over, to guard, except it helps us understand something, okay? So this is how they would say the word shamar is, that shepherds, because it's a shepherding word, they kept or guarded their flocks so that their children would be provided for. That's shamar. They watched over, they kept or they guarded their flocks so that their children would be provided for. So if you were a shepherd and you had sheep, okay? Sheep, we don't know a lot about sheep because we don't have sheep, right? Are you going home today and feed your sheep? No, you're going home to feed your dog, your cat, whatever, right? Your gerbil, okay? We don't have sheep in our backyard. That's just not the culture we have. So sometimes we don't understand this, okay? Sheep, marvelous animals, right? Okay, how are they going to protect themselves, right? How are they going to protect, run into somebody? I mean, what are they going to do? So they always need protection. So if you're a shepherd and you were out in the field and you were to protect your sheep, that you would, in order for shamar, this is the picture it gives, you would go and you'd cut down thorn bushes and you would kind of make a fence, a corral. And then you are the door. You laid in front of the opening because nobody was getting through to the sheep. That was your job. Your job was to protect the sheep. So you'd build this fence, and then you lay across it. If you go to John 10, it's why Jesus says, I am the door. Because guess what? Okay, in Jesus' day, they had moved up a little bit. They had stone walls, and they had an opening. And guess where the shepherd was? Right in front of the opening. Right, if anything was going to come through, it's coming through him. So I want you to grab that when you think about this idea of keeping God's commands, that he's inviting us in to keep his commands. This is far different than, I guess I just obey and do whatever he said. This is far different. It's got a far different picture to it. In fact, this is the other way they would say this word shamar. Thus to closely guard for the next generation that which is of first importance. Boy, there's a really good picture there. I'm supposed to closely guard, okay, not only for my own sake, but for the next generation, that which is of first importance. That's our job when it comes to the commandments of God in our life, okay? They are something that need to be guarded, need to be protected. This is something you actively do. If you're passive at it, it's not going to work. Just hope, they'll be fine in there, right? Could you just imagine that? The sheep out in the field are going to be fine. No, they won't. Because all it takes is one sheep to go over a cliff, and you know what they all do? They all follow. One after another, right off the cliff. The shepherd's probably going, what are you doing, right? But one after another, that's what they do. They're followers. They're followers. And there's all sorts of news stories about sheep that get into all sorts of trouble because they have a shepherd's voice. What happens if that shepherd dies and he's never gave it to somebody else to help guide his sheep? They are totally lost. They are totally lost. And who is going to protect them? So I'm going to ask you, that authority in your life, if that's Jesus, if that's his word, how are you doing that? How are you building in your life a protection so that it is guarded? And maybe we could ask, well, why should we even do that? Why is it important that you and I do that in our lives? That we are actively, this is not passive. If it is, this stuff's going to run right over you. This is an active duty that Jesus is calling his disciples to. If you're going to follow me, guess what? If you want to remain in my love, and you're going to see this in a moment, you got to guard. You got to be on your guard. You got to be on your guard. You got to be protected. You got to be actively watching for the enemy to come and to do something with the commands of God. So I want to talk about for a moment why we should do this. Why we should guard the commandments of Jesus. Because first, they are truth. Now, I know you don't hear this anywhere else because everybody has truth today. You have a truth, you have a truth, you have a truth. Everybody has a truth. And my truth can't tell your truth what to do, and your truth can't tell my truth what to do. And we're so confused over this word truth. But John, of all the people who get the opportunity to be led by the Holy Spirit to write scripture, 49 times. The most times out of any book, the word truth appears in the Gospel of John. So obviously, he thinks it's important. He thinks it's important because they are truth. And I'm telling you, you know what you have to do with truth? You have to guard it. Or all of a sudden, it isn't no longer truth. Somebody's come in and taken it, stolen it, called it a lie, called it, I don't know if that's really for certain. And now all of a sudden, oh, what am I going to believe? Am I believing this lie? Well, what about this? This is the way the enemy works. Jesus said in John chapter 8, and you should read this part because this is really good. When he was talking about this whole idea of truth, he said, Satan's a liar. And he said, just so you know, that's his native language. You speak, right? You speak Greek, he speaks lying, okay? We speak English, he speaks lying. That's his native language. That's what he does. And everything he comes out of his mouth is meant to deceive, to trick, to fool, to get you off the path of protecting and guarding what is true, what God says is truth. So how's that going in your life? They are truth. Okay? 13 times in these 4 hours. So we said this passage from 13:1 to 18:1 is probably about 4 hours of the life of Jesus. 13 times. What does he use the word? Truth. Truth. In fact, the last thing he said to Pilate, Pilate's like, what? And Pilate responds, what? What is truth? Truth? I mean, 2,000 years ago, Pilate didn't even know what truth is, okay? So I don't know how much better we're going to do today without Jesus. That's where it's at, okay? Now, what do you think he said, I'm the truth? Confused about that? Jesus says, come here. Come to me. I am truth. I am truth. Number two, and follow me with this one. They are the way we stay or remain in his love. Now, I said this earlier. We don't work for love. We work from love. This is important because if you get this confused, let me tell you what you're going to do. You're going to be doing stuff and going, God, are you pleased with me? God, are you pleased with me? Okay, God, today was a good day. I know I tried to yell less at people driving slow in the fast lane. I tried to do better. I tried to do better with my kids. I tried to do better with my spouse. I tried. Are you pleased with me? Do you love me? And what we end up doing is we ending up working for love. And oh gosh, that is destructive. That is destructive because you're going to get fooled into thinking you're not loved. You get fooled into thinking God does not love you. Oh, he couldn't love me. Today was a bad day. No, he does. He does. See what sort of love, John says in his later epistle, that the Father has given us that we should be called God's children. It is no mistake that at the baptism of Jesus, what does God say? That's my beloved son. Out loud, okay? That's my beloved son. That right there. Do you understand that's what God wants to say to us? And we're sitting there going, no, no, but God, I got to do better today. And then I can be your beloved son, your beloved daughter. He's like, no, no, no. Just come to me. Let me forgive you and set you free. And you are my children. you are my children. So we get all confused in this. The prodigal son might be a great story to go to that Jesus told. Okay, because what is he? He's in a foreign country. He's blown everything. And what is he doubting? That he's still a son. I got to go back and say, Dad, I blew it. And I'm no longer worthy to be son. I'll just be a slave. I'll just go live out in the servant headquarters. I'll just live out there because I'm not your son anymore. I really blew it. Well, why do you think he thought that? Because he left. He wandered. He walked away. And in that walking away, it messed with who he was and his entire identity. So isn't it interesting? He says, no, stay. Stay with me. Remain with me. Because that's how you're going to understand how much I love you. Do you understand we are a beloved son or beloved daughter of God? But when we don't remain, we wander and we forget our belovedness. It is the first place you will be attacked. And all of a sudden, oh, I don't know if I'm a beloved son or beloved daughter. I don't know. I don't know. I've done some things that, you know, I know aren't right in the scriptures. We start doubting and we start thinking we're not loved. And it is the first place the enemy loves to attack us. So Jesus goes, come on, stay in my love. Stay in my love by keeping and guarding my commandments. When you do that, it is going to help you understand that you are my beloved son, beloved daughter. It's not a word we use too often. It's where you take the Greek word agape and you make it into a noun to describe somebody. And modern translators go, I don't know. They just use the word friend because we don't really know what to call that anymore. In the old language, it's beloved. So we'll just use that because I don't know what else to use. You are a beloved son. You are a beloved daughter. Don't wander. And if you are here today and you have and you are doubting that, oh, Jesus would love to remind you again. You are a beloved son. You are a beloved daughter. Don't wander. Just remain in my love. Just remain in my love by keeping my commandments. Number three, and we're going to talk about this more next week. They are under attack. Why? They're under attack. Why does the shepherd go through all of this? All of this, but right? This had to take some time, okay? He did not have modern equipment. He did not take out his sawzall, okay, that had its 20-volt battery in it and start cutting down thorn bushes. Nope. Probably had some sort of blade, cut it down, and he's building his corral. Why is he even bothering? Because they're enemy to the sheep out there. David said he ran into two in his lifetime. One was a bear and one was a lion. So when he comes into the scene and they're all like, oh, I don't know. We got this giant. We don't know what to do. And David's just a little kid, right? He's about 12 maybe. And he's like, what's wrong with you guys? Okay. I had to do this. I was a shepherd. And believe me, I don't think I was old enough, but man, God helped me. The lion went down, the bear went down. Okay? They weren't there to meet the sheep. They weren't there to go, oh, lovely sheep. Let's have a party, sheep. Okay? They were there to eat the sheep. They're there to attack the sheep. I don't think we understand this. We have an enemy who wants to attack. And I'm telling you, just so you understand, you probably already know this. You go one verse in the Bible. That's all it takes. First verse. You want to know how much following Jesus and following God is under attack? First verse. That's all you get. He didn't get the first verse out. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Oh, we got a problem with that. We got a problem with that. We got to attack that. I don't know if that's real. And we've got all sorts of things out of that. All sorts of things. All sorts of things. And it's up to us, parents listening. It's up to you. Because if you just hand over to school, you know your kids are going to be taught. Well, how did everything begin? Probably by an accident. How will everything end? Probably by an accident. There is no in the beginning God. There is none. That's up to you. If you're going to guard that command for the next generation in your home, it's up to you. It's up to you. So I'm just telling you it starts at 1-1. That's all you have to do. You get to 1-1, it's all under attack. First verse in the scripture. Okay, and they're not trying to say, oh, it's a nice verse. You just have your truth. No, let's destroy it. Let's rip it out. Let's ruin it. That's where it starts. And we're going to talk about more of that next week because Jesus is going to say, by the way, I just want you to understand the world hates me, so it's going to hate you. That's going to be a hard lesson. I'm telling you, you're going to be like, what? Yeah, Jesus tries to prepare us for a world that is going to hate us. He tries to prepare us for that world. And it's hard. It's like, oh no, if we're just nice to people and friendly to people, it'll all work out. And yet, first verse, attack. Nah, that's not true. What are you going to do? What are you going to do when that's attacked in your life? What you believe, what you hold true to Scripture, is attacked in your life. How's that going to end for you? What are you going to do in the light of that? Because I'm telling you, send your kids off to any major college or university. Probably one of the textbooks that will be used at times because they can claim he was a Christian is a guy by the name of Bart Ehrman, who wrote a book about how, we really don't know the Bible's the Bible. I mean, it's been changed so often. It's 2,000 years old, and there's all these things in it, right? And his book is beloved, I'm telling you. Why? Because you put that in the hands of kids who have questions anyway, and you can destroy their faith. You can attack it and destroy it because all I got to do is destroy this. And now, it's a free-for-all because I've attacked it. Now, what's fascinating is Bart Ehrman, who went to Moody and Wheaton, and if you haven't heard those names, those are very right-believing, thinking, teaching colleges, went that way. He went that way. So he's written the whole book on this. What they don't tell you is Bart Ehrman, in one of his first question and answers that he did in a paperback version, since been taken down, was asked about it, and he said, oh yeah, I know there's lots of variations, lots of things, but no essential doctrine is ever changed by any of those differences. Oops! Why didn't he lead with that? You ever thought about that? Because that would have ruined his whole book, right? That would have ruined his whole book, because he took a whole book taking whack, whack, whack at the Bible, and then the back said, yeah, nothing was really changed, but let's not tell anybody that. Let's not tell anybody. Let's just talk about all the differences and all the differences and nothing, nothing foundationally, fundamentally is changed by it. As I said, more next week, okay? The last one, because they are the way to know God. I want you to see what John writes later about these commandments that we are supposed to protect and guard in our life. Why? Because they're going to open a door to something, and that is knowing who Jesus is, right? Now by this we know that we have come to know. He's using the same word but in different ways, okay? Now this is how we know God. But he's talking about know in a very intimate way. He's not talking about, I gained a bunch of knowledge of God. This book is just about a bunch of knowledge of God. No, it's meant for us to actually know him. So we've come to know God if we, same word, shamar, tereo, guard, protect, keep his commandments. When I do that, and I guard that in my life as truth, as the way to remain in his love, when I do that, I can know God better. Not just know more about him. How tall is he? What movies does he like? Okay. It's actually to know him. It's actually an intimate, personal way to know him. And the way we do that, and the way the scripture writers talk about, and the way we don't talk about it very often, Michael was reminding me of this last week, okay? This is Psalms 1. Instead, because he's talking about the blessed man, the blessed person. Instead, he finds pleasure in obeying the Lord's commands. We could use the same word there, keeping the Lord's commands. He meditates on his commands day and night. Now, if we were talking about meditation, you'd be like, is that okay? I don't know. Some of you are a little, did he just use that word, right? The problem is the picture we have of meditate. We have the wrong picture. And this is normally the way, by the way, Satan works, okay? He counterfeits something, and it's so different from the original. But since we don't know the original, we're like, I don't think we should do that anymore. If you think meditate is sitting in a corner, humming, that is not even close. That's what I found. It's not even close, okay? And we'll talk about this at some point because this would be fascinating. Here's when the writer's scripture talk about meditate, here's what it talks about. See if this gives you a picture. The sound a lion makes before digging into his prey. Now get that picture, okay? Right, so the Kim back there, what? What? Yeah, I don't think that's sitting in a corner humming, do you? I don't know. I don't know. I've never seen a lion do this, okay? Okay? I've never seen a lion do this, but I doubt that's what he's doing, okay? He's sitting in a yoga pose in the corner going, this is my food, okay? He's not doing that, is he? No. That's the picture of meditate. Well, it's a far different picture than what if we've been told, oh, it's bad, it's evil. We just let it been taken over by the enemy. Well, we got that back. And in doing that, it's going to help us to know our God even better. Because we have those commands, and it's not just like we keep them in a pen somewhere. We know them, and we get to know them, and we meditate on them. We dig into them and learn them more and more and more and more. Because this is a far different picture than anything I probably have been told and you ever been told. We just get scared of that word because we think it means something else. Well, the enemy's told us it means something else. We're just going to gain it back today, okay? We're just going to gain it back that this is what it looks like and what would happen if we just started to do exactly what Psalms 1-2 says, that we just meditate on his commands day and night. We take the word and we approach it in that kind of way so that we get to know him better. So, my question today, are you guarding the commandments of Jesus in your life? And I realize some of them might have slipped through. Some of you might be struggling in different areas. I totally get that. Totally get that. I'm asking, are you guarding them? Are you guarding them? You realize you're a beloved son. You're a beloved daughter. And if today you have any questions on any of that, you would just again ask our Heavenly Father to remind you of that. You are a beloved son, you are a beloved daughter. Okay? Remain in my love. How are you doing at guarding the commandments of Jesus in your life? Which ones have, well, it's 2023, right? We threw a bunch out. They're just not relevant anymore. They're just not, right? We just got rid of them. Is that how we're treating them? Are we guarding them? Are we realizing that these are the ways we're going to know God better, that these are the things that are going to help us, that these are truth, that these are the things that are going to guide and direct our life. How are we doing guarding them? Because I'm telling you, this isn't passive. If you think this is passive and, oh, I just show up in church on Sundays and it's all good, no. I can answer that question for you. The answer is no. The answer is no. Shepherd wouldn't do that. Sheep are okay for another 7 days. I'll go check on them. They all be dead. They all be dead. They'd all be wiped out. The bear, the lion, they'd all come in and wipe out the sheep. And then the shepherd's in big trouble because he didn't even protect his own flock. And Jesus is like, do you understand? I'm all about that. And I'm inviting you to do the same thing. To build a fence, to protect my word. For what? Not just for me, but for the very next generation, we get an opportunity to pour our lives into and see what God might do in their hearts and their lives. Guard it. Guard it. It's not passive. It's absolutely active. It's going to mean every day. Don't have to read the entire Bible in a year. Take a couple verses every day. Chew them over. Go after them like a lion would. If you don't know what that looks like, YouTube's always a good help for that, okay? So save me your emails from my spouse won't stop YouTubing lions killing something, okay? I'm sorry, okay? But look at it there. If you want a picture of what that looks like, meditate, get in those commands, see the way that God will change your hearts and lives. So let's pray, and then we're going to sing How Great Thou Art to wrap up our time of worship this morning. Father, would you do first what only you can do? Remind us that we are beloved son or beloved daughter, because some people walk through this door this morning questioning that very thing. And that identity is so important. I pray, Father, you'd help for those who are working for, they're working for love. They're hoping you're pleased with them when you're like, no, I've already told you I'm pleased. You're my beloved. You're my. That type of life is draining. And it's why most people walk away. We miss what real life was from you. We walked away frustrated because we couldn't see anything happening. So I pray, Father, today you would help us to work from love. First, would you just remind us deeply, we are the beloved son, we are beloved daughter. If we have put our trust in you, that is our identity now. And we're going to go from that. Maybe we haven't guarded and kept your commands, and that's why we're struggling with this. Today is a great day to repent and to walk in your way. Help us, Father. This is hard. We have a culture that just loves to attack your word. The time of passivity is long past. This is actively guarding. We ask you to help us to do that. We need the wisdom to know what to do and the courage to do it, to walk in it, to see what you have in store for us. Show us where we are. Show us how well that fence is we built. We do it for the glory of your name. For the next generation, we get the opportunity to pour our lives into. So renew, restore, work in a great way in our hearts and lives today. In Jesus' name, amen. Our prayer.